I find it interesting how some people, and I don't know if this is just some people or almost all people except for me, put things on the internet that they are intending only for their own private use. Like, someone will start a blog and use it just to write things that they intend to keep to themselves. They don't intend on sharing it with anyone. They're just using the internet because it's convenient. There are tools that you can use on a private computer that are not on the internet and are intrinsically secure. Not completely secure. Of course, someone could somehow get into your computer and get your files, but certainly more secure than a blog where anyone who has the internet address or anyone who can search for it or anyone who can find it through links to your site will be able to look at it, and your security is one purely of obscurity. There's someone I know who has a blog that they keep just as a journal. They don't share it with anyone. In fact, I asked them, like, hey, can I read the article? And they're like, no, I don't use it for public. It's a completely private, it's my journal, like a private journal. But it's on the internet. And it's like, why? Do you not understand what the internet is for? Like, how? I suppose it keeps it backed up. I mean, it's going to be hard to lose it, I suppose, if it's on the internet. Certainly, it'll be harder to lose it than if you have it on a floppy disk somewhere. But it's so foreign to me, this strange idea that you would use the internet for something completely private. And I've used the internet for things that are mostly private, but I put them on a section of my website that's first off labeled private. It's peripheral, I can't even say it. It's difficult to say, this tongue twister. Peripheralarbor.com/pictures/private. And then I've got directory browsing turned off, so you can't just go in there and poke around and see what's in there. You have to know the exact name of the file, and I don't name my file sequentially. You know, I take some precautions so that people won't see these things unless I give them a link. And certainly the person could then share it with someone else, but I only put stuff on the internet that I plan on sharing with someone. To use the internet for something completely private that you would have no intention with sharing with anyone is just... it seems very strange to me. I understand there are reasons for it. You can use it because the internet is well backed up. Because it's on a remote server, you can use it as a remote backup or something. And to not look around at the other options for cataloging things, because you can have time-stamped documents, you can have text editors. I mean, you don't need a full... maybe it's just the experience of feeling that their own private life warrants an entire website. Maybe that's a pleasing experience. If so, that seems kind of delusional to me, but I mean, people delude themselves all the time about all kinds of things, so that's not surprising. I don't know. Private websites. Why?
So here's something we should do. I don't know if we do this already, we as a culture or as people who talk to people, but considering schedules and the difficulty of meeting people face to face, and the difficulty of, well, I guess that's it. Oh, and the difficulty of asking the right questions in an interview. If you're going to interview someone, it's very difficult to ask the right questions. And so I'm sure, and I've never done this, but I'm sure there's a whole art to asking the right questions and researching the person beforehand so you can tell what kind of questions they'll have interesting answers to. But that just seems like a whole lot of work, a whole lot of unnecessary work. Here's what I think we should do. Asynchronous interviews. So the interviewer has some set of questions that they're interested in the person answering. Otherwise, they wouldn't be interviewing them. So that person, the interviewer, should just record those questions as if they were interviewing them in person. Hey, here I've got blah, 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 so-and-so. It's good to talk to you, have you on the show. Thanks for joining me. And then you pause. And then you go on. So what's your biggest accomplishment, blah, blah, blah? Something along this nature, or whatever it is that you're trying to ask. You're going to ask a leading question. You're going to want them to respond in some length, but not too much length. But fortunately, we have the capability now of editing stuff very, very easily. It's just super easy to edit audio together. So what you can do is you can have an asynchronous interview where you ask all these questions, you send the stuff to the person you're interviewing, have them record the answers that they give, and then you can go back and change your questions to really just perfectly match the answers that they give. And it'll sound fantastic. It'll sound like they're super smart. It'll sound like you're super smart. It won't waste the audience's time. It'll be great. So I think definitely we should do this. Asynchronous interviews. If you want me to interview you, I will do this for you. And if you ever want to interview me, do this for me. So this has several advantages, one of which is that then you don't have to arrange your schedules to match up. You can have your questions all recorded, you can send them off to the person you're gonna interview, the person can take their dear sweet time with it. Now, of course, this means that they might never get around to it, but then again, you know, if their time is that valuable, maybe you should pay them more or something. And then when they can get around to it, they answer your questions, send them back, then you can edit them at your leisure. It doesn't require that you have a good day when you're interviewing them. It doesn't require they have like a good breakfast the morning that they have the interview. They're not going to be flustered. They're going to pick the time that they want to answer the questions. They're going to do it in a calm and collected manner, I hope, or whatever manner they want to answer the questions in. They're going to be able to choose when to deal with your interview instead of you kind of barging in on their life and making them deal with your interview whenever it's convenient for you and them. So I think it would be much more convenient. It would help people to have better ability to ask and answer questions. You might be concerned that editing the questions afterward is, I don't know, I don't really care about journalistic integrity. All I care about is that the thing that the person is trying to communicate is accurately conveyed. And if that's better conveyed by changing the questions afterwards so that they lead in better, they flow better, changing the order of things, cutting out things they say that don't make sense, as long as it conveys what they're trying to say, I think that it's an improvement. I've been Paul Spooner. This is the Paul Spooner Podcast, and allow me to play you out. Bum 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 b